Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
Today's show, my name is Mark Kohler, and man, am I excited for today's show. And I mean, I'm like totally more excited, I think, than any show this year. Maybe it's because I've been on a hiatus for 2 weeks. I got to say thanks to Matt Sorensen for covering the radio show, and we had two great guests the last 2 weeks, and Matt did a great job. I can't say enough about last week's show. I want to recommend those that are maybe new listeners or haven't tuned into us before, go check out on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio last week's recording. It was fantastic. We had an FBI agent talk about how to build rapport with people when you're starting to interrogate them. And what was her name on Silence of the Lambs, Jodie Foster? He's like that. That was his thing in FBI, was profiling people. So very, very interesting interview to help you in business, building rapport with others and being able to read them and stuff. So pretty cool show. So really excited about that last week. And I'm just glad to be here. Maybe it's the break. So welcome all you new listeners. We've been having thousands of listens these last few months. Things have really, really been picking up. I'm so grateful to many of you that share the link to this show with others. I promise you every week we're going to share something that can save you money, make you money, better live the American dream. It's not just a talk show about blah, 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 talking heads, nothing like that. We're going to make sure we're providing some real impact. And today is going to be nothing but the same. I've got a special guest, Stan Lockhart, calling in straight from the Republican National Convention. Woo! We got a live correspondent, folks. Can you believe that? Is that killer or what? He's going to be reporting to us live at what he's experiencing there at the convention. We're excited about that. And now for you Democrats out there, you know, we're non-denominational here. We'll play both sides of the party line. So when the Democratic convention comes up, we'll make sure we have someone there too. So don't stress. But we're excited to see what's going on there. And we have a tremendous guest today. You may have seen it on the newsletter. Motorcycle racer, world ranked motorcycle racer, Nadine LaJoie will be joining us. Author of the book, Win the Race of Life. And I put some pictures out there on the newsletter that went out this morning of her riding her motorcycle at 180 miles an hour on a turn. Unbelievable. So you're going to want to check that out. Pretty cool. Good stuff. Yeah, just one other side note. I'm just kind of excited. I uploaded a new surf video. This is me being my normal playful self, I guess. I uploaded a surf video on Facebook this morning. My son was playing with it last night. We went surfing over the weekend, and it rocks. And I wanted to ask Lisa, our running the studio, Lisa Owens, she rocks. She's been, keep holding things together in the studio for months for us. Lisa, did you watch the video? What'd you think?
I didn't get to see the video. I went to the wrong webpage. I went to your Mark J. Kohler webpage, not the Facebook.
Not the fan page. Okay, yeah, you have page of Facebook.
Okay.
There you go. Check it out.
Fan page on Facebook.
Okay, all right. Later in the show. I've got Bill.
I'm
telling you. There you go. All right, we're going to check on with you later in the show once you get a chance to watch it. Just a minute.
All right, I'll go check it out. All right.
Okay, rocks. All right. Well, without further ado, I want to introduce our first guest today, and I'm excited to have him here with us. This is Stan Lockhart, a lobbyist for Micron and other electronics, multi-billion dollar companies, well-connected in the Utah political scene. He's been the past chairman of the Utah Republican Party, and he is there in Florida at the national convention. And we're so excited to have him here with us. He's a good friend and contact of our partner in the law firm, Chris Kyler. Many of you don't wonder who this KKOS is, and the Kohler and Sorensen are who some of you may be familiar with, but Chris Kyler and Mike Ostermiller are political junkies and lobbyists out of the state of Utah that just do an incredible job. And so he's a good friend of Chris Kyler's, and so we're grateful he could find a minute. Stan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Hey, any friend of Chris is a friend of mine.
I feel the same. He's such a good guy. Well, that's cool. Well, hey, we're excited to know. How's the Ron Paul convention going on down the street?
Well, I've not had a Ron Paul sighting yet, nor his supporters. But
okay.
If you believe what's in the newspapers, there has been some showing here over the last couple of days.
Yeah. I just wondered. Just wanted to, you know, see what was going on there. If you had a live report from Ron Paul too, I guess he's a. You know, which we wanted to, you know, Isaac or not, he had quite a show yesterday, apparently. How are you weathering the storm, too?
Yeah, the storm, at least for Tampa, has been much ado about nothing. We had just a little bit of rain, but no real wind to speak of, and it didn't really, I mean, if you were watching TV, you would have thought that we were right in the eye of the storm, and the fact of the matter is it was much ado about nothing.
Well, that's interesting because they, you know, called it to order. I heard on NPR the shortest, you know, convention day in history. Were you there when they called it to order and then said, okay, we're adjourned?
No, because they told all the delegates, they said, hey, don't even bother. Don't even, in fact, they didn't want us down at the convention hall. They said, stay in your hotels, you know, have delegation activities with your state. And stay away from the convention hall. So we did. And so not only was it the shortest in history, it probably had the fewest people in the room in history when it took place.
There you go. Well, you know, that's one of the first questions, and I appreciate you joining us here. This is, you know, many of us, millions of Americans have never, ever been to a political national convention or maybe understand what goes on there. They see it on the news, oh, there was a speech here, a speech there. But I should have announced this at the very beginning in your introduction. You're also a delegate. What are your responsibilities there? What do we as the average citizen maybe not know what you're doing there for the state of Utah, the citizens of Utah, and other delegates from other states?
Yeah, so first of all, this is like the Olympics of politics. Once every 4 years, we get together, we nominate our choice for president. It's a formality because we've been through the primary season and we know who has won it. And but you come here because there are people who come from all across the country, and we share common values, common ideals. We're like-minded in what we believe America should be and what it's all about. And it's just a wonderful time in every way. You get a chance to meet elected officials from around the country. You get a chance to meet you know, the conservative pundits and press. And talk show hosts and those types of things. But more than anything, it's this concept of freedom and liberty and limited government that we all believe in that brings us together.
Huh. Well, I like it. Gosh, it exciting time to rub elbows with all those people that you may see on the news. And have you had any FaceTime? I know you have previously with our presidential, soon to be official presidential nominee. Mitt Romney. On a personal level? I mean, it's kind of interesting to talk to someone that's met him on a regular basis and worked with him. What do you think of Mitt, or should I say, President-elect Mitt? What do you call
President Mitt? Yeah, I don't know what you call. I think he prefers Mitt.
Okay, there you go.
It's interesting watching the way the media reports on people and kind of characterizes them in a certain way. Mitt is actually a much warmer individual than you've kind of been led to believe if you read the media reports, and he's very good on a one-on-one basis with people and is very caring and would give you the shirt off his back if he thought you needed help. Here's what he brings to the table more than any other candidate this year in either the Republican or the Democrat side. He brings the ability to get a budget under control, and he's proven it over and over again, whether in the private sector with Bain Capital the 2002 Olympics that were in shambles when he took over, or when he was governor of Massachusetts and he started off with a $3 billion deficit, and by the time he left, they were $1 billion to the good. And so he knows how to manage a budget. And if there's anybody that can get our financial situation under control in the federal government, it's Mitt Romney.
Well, that probably leads me to one of my, and I know that you're an expert in a number of areas, and you probably have your areas of interest surrounding the convention. But one question I wonder if you could comment on is really takes off from where you just left. USA Today and the Wall Street Journal have recently had big spreads, and you've probably seen it, where they compare Mitt Romney's tax plan to Obama's, and then they have these examples from left to right of different demographics of single folks, married, different wealth levels, and the impact that different plans would have. And it was really astonishing. And I wondered if you'd comment on what you think, your experience that you've had analyzing or looking at the difference in the tax strategy of the two presidents.
Yeah, so I think that in general, Republicans believe that the less you tax, the more the economy will be stimulated, because the more investment people will be willing to make since it's their own money, and the more tax revenue overall that will be generated because of the increased economic activity. And I think that most of what you see coming out of Mitt Romney, or coming out of really just the Republican philosophy, is that we can tax people less and generate more overall revenue. Some call it Reaganomics. Some call it supply-side economics. But in the end, over and over again, when Republicans have cut taxes, we've seen that the overall revenues rise. And so I think that's kind of where Mitt comes from as well, although he's got a very detailed plan that has a lot of aspects to it. But if you take the 30,000-foot view, I think it all is geared around the concept that we need to get out of people's lives as much as possible and let them achieve all their hopes and dreams without the interference of government every step of the way.
Yes, yes. what have you found to be one of the most interesting developments getting back to the convention? I know it's not fully underway yet. And maybe not even at first. Have you had any speeches today that you've had a chance to listen to? Anything interesting come up?
Yeah, so this morning, well, so each delegation, I'm a part of the Utah delegation. We have breakfasts and lunches every day, and we have speakers come in. So we've now had two of the Romney sons come. We had Josh, and I can't remember the name of the son that came this morning, but we've had the son, the surrogates, talking about what they've been doing and how they've been doing it. And, of course, it's not just Mitt, but it's his whole entire family that's been involved in this election effort this year. And so they've been able to give us some anecdotes of what's happening on the campaign trail. One of the things I thought was interesting that Josh told us yesterday is he said, you know, I've been all over this country, and I have had thousands of people come up to me and said, you know, I voted for Barack Obama 4 years ago, but he's been a huge disappointment. He has not lived up to the promises he's given us. His vision of hope and change was not my vision of hope and change, and so I'm going with Mitt Romney this year. He said and during the whole entire campaign season, he's not had one person give him the other line, which is, I voted for John McCain 4 years ago, and I'm voting for Barack Obama this year. And so he has a sense of optimism that the people in this country are figuring out that they've been duped a little bit by what the current president promised, and they're looking for new leadership, and Mitt can provide that. And I thought that was an interesting take on the campaign.
Well, let me ask you.
Go ahead.
Well, let me ask you one hard question. And I know you're so busy there, and you've spent a lot of money, and you've got a lot of responsibility at the convention. So we need to let you get back to that. And you've been so generous to spend some time with us. And I'd like you to leave us with any parting thoughts, but one hard question. I need to play, tough interviewer here. So in response to that last comment, those folks that voted for Obama and were disappointed, do you think that he really did? I mean, who could have turned around in 4 years. A lot of the messes in the pit we were in that the Bush era, which a lot of Republicans weren't pleased with generally, the Reaganomic folks still think Bush Jr. didn't do a great job following that, you know, spending cutting strategy. But and that could be debated, apparently, supposedly. But what do you think? I mean, are we expecting too much out of Obama in 4 years to try to dig us out of the mess we were in to some degree?
Okay, so let's just give a couple of statistics. And then, first of all, it's interesting to me how President Obama still likes to blame George Bush after 4 years of being there on his own. At some point in time, he needs to take responsibility for his own actions and be accountable for what he's done. Our national debt 4 years ago was a little under $10 trillion. Today, it is almost $16 trillion. So that's an increase of 60% in less than 4 years. So for the first 230-some-odd years of existence of the country, we only racked up less than $10 trillion in debt. And in less than 4 years, we've now added another $6 trillion in debt. That is not George W. Bush's problem. That is a Barack Obama problem. What we really and by the way, George W. Bush spent too much money as well and advocated some additional spending that weren't really congruent with what we believe in as Republicans. But guaranteed, Mitt has turned around budgets over and over again throughout his career. And you just can't argue with the outcomes. He's done it. He's not just talking about doing it. He's not just throwing out a plan that he might like to do someday. What he's doing is taking the experience he's had in turning around company after company, the Olympics, the state of Massachusetts, and he's saying, I can do this for America. And so I invite and encourage President Obama to take responsibility for his own actions and instead of blaming others, say, yeah, maybe we haven't had the success that I'd wanted over the last 4 years, and here's how I'll do things differently, instead of just blaming others for things that really are his responsibility and really are his as a result of his policies.
Well, excellent articulate response. And I want you to know when I have my correspondent from the Democratic Convention, I'm going to throw them some hardballs too. So I
well, you go ahead and do that.
I feel that. Well, any final comments here? With folks, if you've just joined us, we're speaking with Stan Lockhart. He's a national lobbyist, a well-connected political junkie, for lack of a better word, in Utah, past chairman of the Utah Republican Party, and a delegate for the state of Utah at the actual Republican National Convention, joining us live and giving us some feedback. Any final words for us, Stan?
Yeah, I think so. I'd encourage people to watch the convention instead of just relying on the mainstream media, which they all seem to have their own special, you know, bias and their own special way that they want to package people. But see the real thing. Watch the convention when it's on TV over the next few days. See if Republicans really do have specific solutions for the future of our country. And let's not rely on third parties to try to pigeonhole us and tell us what they think, but see it for yourself, because I believe that once you see the vision and the policies that Republicans have in store for America, you'll get as excited as I am about our future.
Well, Stan, thank you so much. Political expert Stan Lockhart with us today, and I really appreciate you again finding the time there at the convention. Have a good time. Go down and get a good Cuban sandwich. I can't say enough about that. I think that's very important while you're there.
Good. Will do. Thanks, Mark.
All right. Well, thank you. We hope to have you again on the show someday, and God bless. Be safe.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, folks, wow. What an interesting experience to kind of wrap that up and put a little bow around the national convention. Exciting to hear what's going on there, which affects us a lot, people. This is huge because we've got the tax plans of both Mitt Romney and Obama that are going to make a stark difference in our own lives this coming year. And I understand while I was out of town, Liddell Ayer, my partner, commented on the differences between the two plans. I'm going to put together an article for next week on my blog, and so let's see how it goes. I just really, really concerned about my tax bill next year. So I'm looking closely at this. Obama and Romney. Sometimes feel I am more of an on the independent side of things. Okay, well, for those that are a regular listener of ours, you know where we go next. We're going to bring out one of our experts that comes out every week, shares a little tip or strategy, some experience or story that they encountered with a client. And trust me, we don't tell the personal names of our clients, but if we have a general story we can share, it's very, very helpful. So we're going to bring out Jaron Bergeson, an attorney in our office, licensed in, two or three states, helps clients of ours all around the country, regular guest here on the show. Jaron, how's it going?
Great, Mark. How are you?
Good, good. Man, are you excited for our guest today, Nadine? This is going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, that's going to be very cool. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, she's not only beautiful, but she's talented. And who can say they've driven a motorcycle that fast, legally at least? Pretty exciting stuff. So what do you got for us?
Well, you know, Mark, most of the time we're trying to help our clients in a lot of situations avoid lawsuits or protect their assets if they get sued. But today I had a little experience with somebody who may be filing a lawsuit against somebody based on something that happened to their rental property. And what it was is a couple weeks ago here in the Cedar City area, we had a really bad rainstorm. How they tend to be here is they dump a lot of rain in a short amount of time but don't last too long. Well, we had one of those storms that dumped a ton of rain, and out in one of the outlying cities here, the city was digging a trench across some people's property. I'm not real sure as to why they were digging it, but they kind of left it in a state of disrepair and hadn't done anything with it for a while, and this big storm came up and water came through the trench, and this trench directed water to go into people's homes, and these are homes with basements, and a lot of basements were flooded, a lot of damage happened, and I've talked to a few people here who think that this particular city, and I won't name the city here around town, is responsible for that, and they wanted to know, well, if I want to file a claim against this town, how do I do it?
Let me interject there. I think to put a little context in this, for a lot of people, especially a lot of our clients that have rental properties as well as their own individual homes, getting into a tiff with this town or a county or a city for whether it's a property tax issue or even some sort of damage from a drilling or electrical or, you know, piping or water or something. This is something all of us should maybe listen to here, because I think sometimes I hear these stories, well, that'll never apply to me. But you wait till the city does something to one of your rental properties or home, and especially when you have more rentals, you got more city jurisdictions to deal with. So
right. Okay. And yeah.
Go ahead and proceed. I love
so
that.
You know, it's not when you want us to file a claim or sue a city, you can't just do that willy-nilly. There's something called governmental immunity, and those cities can, in certain situations, be immune from lawsuits. Sometimes they're not. Most of the time, in almost every state, there's a governmental immunity act that waives the immunity for certain kinds of suits, and most states will require you to file what's called, and in some states it has a different name, but in most states it's called a notice of claim. If you don't file this notice of claim within a certain amount of time after the claim arises, you lose any chance to sue the city. And a lot of situations, the statute of limitations to get your notice of claim into the governmental entity is shorter than your statute of limitations would be for the normal claim if you're going to go file a lawsuit. And if you don't file this notice of claim, you lose your chance to sue the city. later on. And what this basically does is gives the city a notice that there's a claim out there. They can turn it over to their insurers and see what they're going to do with it. And they may deny your claim. And if they do, then you've preserved your right to sue them. So what I'm just advising people to do is, if you get in a situation where you feel like you want to sue a governmental entity, a city, a county, a state, make sure that you find out what the statute is. You can meet with us to find out what the statute is in that state, and we can help direct you to how to file that notice of claim so that you preserve your rights, so that later on, if you need to file a lawsuit against a city or a town or a county, you can do that.
Well, cool. I love it. This is, again, a very useful, I think, a little experience. And it's funny how, as a lawyer, you get these weird experiences that you think are isolated, but then you have many clients that could be faced with something like this. So, well, very good. Very good. Well, Jerem, thank you so much. I know many of our clients are getting to know you more and more, and Jerem joined our firm about a year and a half ago. He's been a huge asset. We love him. And folks, if you ever feel like my schedule's a little too busy or Matt's, Lee's, you know, we're all interchangeable when it comes to tax and asset protection, business planning, estate planning. That's what we're good. We're lovers, not fighters. the little instances, we'll go to court. Maybe we'll fight the city like this one a little bit. I know, Jerem, you've got some litigation experience. You like to put the gloves on once in a while. But Well, thanks again, Jerem. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick music break here as we bring on our special guest. I've got a little, Let's see. We had a little problem there technically. Maybe we'll hold off on that. I want to make sure that we don't screw things up here. So I'm going to just jump right into our special guest. I'm so excited about today. As I mentioned a little earlier, we have Nadine LaJoy that's showing up out of her busy, busy schedule to be with us. She has recently written the book, Win the Race of Life. She's been featured in USA Today, CBS Money Watch, Yahoo Business. She considers herself a success acceleration trainer. Maybe that's, again, from her experience as a world-class motorcycle racer who's repeatedly, you know, driven her bike over 180 miles per hour. And if you go to the newsletter today, you'll see some really cool pictures of her. Not only is she beautiful, but she's, extreme racer, you know. So pretty neat. She's been an international keynote speaker, and she empowers entrepreneurs and women worldwide with completely unique new and techniques and twists using motorcycle racing as a metaphor for life and business, providing a powerful and energetic message to embody success, adrenaline, and power. So I'm just so excited to have her with us, and I've known her for years. She's been a very wonderful client, and grateful to have been known her all these years. So Nadine, welcome to the show.
Hello, Mark. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm so excited too.
Well, and as soon as you start talking, I probably, at least from a guy's perspective, I need to immediately tell the guys to chill out because I hear your beautiful accent. And, you know, not only are you really cool and drive a motorcycle, you're beautiful, and you have this sexy accent. So we've got to get the guys to focus here on your powerful message, not that beautiful accent. So, now, did you grow up in French Canada? Is that where you got this beautiful accent?
Yes, I am from Quebec, a little town, tiny town, like 800 people. When I grew up, my dad was a farmer, and I moved in Quebec, after that in Montreal, and after that I moved to the States, and I started to speak English, actually, in 2005. So, it's why I still have that big thick accent with me.
I love it. Now, you know, before we get into your book and your powerful message and strategies, which I know you'll share some inspirational thoughts with us today, for sure. I've heard them before. But before we get there, maybe give us a little more background. I think many of the men and women listening to the show would be a little bit fascinated as to how you got into motorcycle racing, and at such a high level. Female motorcycle racing probably is not one of the most common sports for women. How did this happen?
That happened because I was crazy. I got my first street bike in 2001 because I broke my knee 5 times in volleyball. I was a high volleyball player. I finished 9 in Canadian championship against a woman who went to the Olympic, actually, and they lost against Kerry Walsh and Misty May. So this week was kind of hard a little bit on me, and brought me some tears about that volleyball era. But I had to find another sport less dangerous. So I find a motorcycle just riding in 2001. And in 2003, I was already crazy on the street, and two of my friends, they said, we need to bring you on the track because you will kill yourself if you continue like that. So we bought a bike, the three of us. We were exchanging the bike, and the bike was running all day long with 3 different practices. And I was already, like, kind of good because, you know, when you are a high achiever in anything in your business, in piano, in music, and volleyball, and everything, when you have that mindset, it's easy to switch sports. So that's what I did, and I got my first podium and my first race in the woman class in September 2003. And from there, after that, I went to race against guys and finished 3rd at Daytona against 75 guys and top 10 in national USA. So 2007 was my major year with a lot of accomplishment. And I won a championship in the women's class, too. So I would say that's probably the best year of my life.
Wow. What a neat experience. And well, you know, I want to use that as a transition to just ask the this has been the big question that keeps coming to my mind this last couple weeks when we were able to book you for the show. I really wanted to ask this question. Is it scary? And racing, and it's, I assume it's got to be scary at times, going that fast in a pack of other motorcycles. And is there an analogy to the fear that small business owners have, even whether it's starting a business or just keeping their business going? I guess first, were you scared at times being a...
At the beginning I was shaking and I was having my heart beating, and I remember the first time I went to the racetrack, I was so not confident, and I said, oh my God, and I was fast on the street, and people were passing me like crazy. I said, I will never be able to do that. I came back and I was crying. I said, I'm not for that. You know, people pass me, and I'm just scared. And along the way, I got 4 concussions and 1 collarbone. And it's why after 2007, I got a couple of bad crash. And, you know, it's when it affects your confidence and your mindset, that's where you start to hesitate. You start to get into your comfort zone. You start to tell to yourself, oh, I need to don't crash. And when you start to do that, even in business or in life, when you are too much on the brakes, when you don't give enough gas, you are always behind the pack. You need to gas more and brake less in business and in life. That's one of the secrets. And when I was asking the guys on the track, what should I do to go faster? That was always their answer. You brake too soon and you gas too late. You need to live more on the edge and just stop thinking and just do it. So,
I've heard that. Like, I owned a motorcycle in high school until my parents decided that it was obviously a death trap for me. I've ridden a motorcycle before a few times off road and on road. Is it true that, let's go with this braking metaphor for just a moment. When racing, in a turn, you don't want to brake in the turn. You really want to accelerate through the turn. Is that true?
In the turn, you have to brake a little bit at the entry. After that, you have to kind of having a plateau for the little apex, and after that, you gas. But you cannot do one right after the other. There's kind of a little waiting moment, and it's all about timing, and it's all about the good timing, how you pass the other guy inside of you or outside of you, what is the opportunity in the next corner. It's the same thing in business. If you focus too much on the little details, on your little day-to-day, you will lose the big picture, the big finish line. if you focus too much on the big finish line and you don't focus on the next corner, you can crash and you can die, or somebody can crash into you, or somebody can have a crash in front of you and you didn't see it. So it's always a mix in between the focus and the action step that you have to do. And so it's one of the reasons also that I create in November during the Thanksgiving weekend, I create a workshop for entrepreneurs where we will teach different aspects of business, but they will have VIP tickets and the people will be able to go on the racetrack, on a bike, in tandem with somebody else, with an expert racer, to really experience what it is to live on the edge, to really get out of your comfort zone, and with your business work that we will do that day, that will bring some breakthrough, because it's like people when they jump in parachute or when they skydive or when they do rafting, they have a lot of breakthroughs because life is about moments and opportunity. And when you take it, when you apply that in your life and your business, you are more successful entrepreneur and a person.
Now, before we go back to this metaphor of breaking in the turn, because I know you've written about this in your book, and I want to come back to it a little. Slow down. Tell me about this event. You're having a speaking event and a motivational event, and then for certain attendees that I would assume pay for this aspect, can get on a motorcycle with you or other professionals during this event?
With another professional, we have only 15 spots, and the people will be able, if they are able to last about 12 minutes on the racetrack, behind, like in tandem, like more like parachute in tandem, and they will be on the racetrack, and the professional racer is one of the top guy in the AMA, and he will be able to bring people probably around 150 or 160 miles per hour to on the bike, and braking at the end of the straight and put his knee on the ground, and you will hear the sound of when you are in the corner. So after you go through that, you can, for sure, there are some fears that will be away in your business and your life.
I can imagine a few things that will be away besides fear in my underwear, but I'll be a little scared.
And he said that sometimes people are so scared, and he can feel them when they dress up and all that. He said that sometimes he's sure that the people will not be able to do it. And sure enough, like, 50 feet later or 500 feet later, they already tap in and they said, okay, go back home.
Oh, man, this is incredible. Now, I know this is not an infomercial. Many of my listeners for years have known that that's not what my radio show is about. But I definitely want to highlight opportunities for people to engage with our guests. Where is this event? How do people learn more about it? And
that will be in Fontana in Ontario, like close to here in California. And it will be at Auto Club Speedway, which is one of the nicest racetrack. And with all the facilities and all that, so that would be really cool. And people can always reach me at my website, nadineracing.com, and you just click on the workshop, and you will have all details. And
all right.
It's really unique, you know. I am the first person on the planet who is thinking about doing a motorcycle event with a business workshop event. So that will be a premiere, and that will be pretty fun.
Well, no, I want to say I love it, and this is the time for me to give my plug. There's probably someone out there that's done it for me. I haven't researched this extensively enough, but I am doing a workshop with a surfing event in December. Yeah, I can hold my own, but we're going to Hawaii. December 1st is my event at the Pearl City Country Club, and you can see Pearl Harbor out the windows. It's beautiful. And then as soon as the conference is over at 4 o'clock, we're all going, anybody that's interested, we're going to the North Shore, and we're going surfing, and we're going to have a breakthrough, and you're going to get pounded by some waves or go out and I'm hoping to line up a couple surfing coaches, trainers for the newer people that want to come, and we'll get some price points that work. I don't need to make money on it. I just want people to have fun. But it's going to be anyway, so we're doing a surfing workshop in Hawaii December 1st for all of you that want to come and attend. It's extremely affordable. I'm booking my flights right now. because Hawaiian Air has some killer deals. But anyway, that's another side note. Back to you, Nadine. This is so cool. Now, this breakthrough of going through these corners, and that's what I loved about your book and this concept of breaking and speeding up in the corners. Because in our businesses, we face those turns, those scary moments. Are we going to make payroll? Am I going to make sales? Is the training I'm going through going to pay off? And we get fearful. And many of us think small business, if we're not experiencing success in 6 months or 1 year, then it's obviously not for me. When it really, you've got to have that breakthrough and take, it's that win for life. The title of your book, it's not win this week or win this month, it's win for life. What do you think about the timing concept? So many people get scared in those turns and they expect too much too soon. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
My thought on that is you are really right. You know, I have 5 businesses now, like 4 businesses and then 1 nonprofit. And when I started my first business, they told me, oh, you will make that much money in the first year. And I said, are you kidding me? And for me, I set that goal in 5 years. So like that, I kind of took off a lot of pressure on myself, a lot of expectation, because we are disappointed when we have too much expectation. When you think you will win the race and you finish 3rd, you are not happy. When you think you will maybe finish 10 and you finish 3rd, you are so happy. So it's all about accomplishment. And in business, it's the same thing. Don't think you will have the good result right away. It takes time. I was successful in Montreal. I semi-retired at 36 years old from my financial business. So when I came here in the States, I said, oh, that will be easy. Like 6 months to 2 years, I will be up on my feet in the States. I will be an international speaker and I will do everything. No, it's 6 years now that I'm working on it. It's everything takes time. And when you try to go too fast, too soon, that's where you can crash. And if you live your life like in motorcycle racing with focus, with adrenaline, if you want to go too fast and if you crash, you can die. Just think about your life and your business. Just take your time. Just have the good coaches. Just practice over and over and over again. You want to make sales? Just make 2 more phone calls a week. Instead of do 10, you just do 12. You just do 1 little thing at a time. One, we said in motorcycle, act 1 corner at a time. Just don't focus on the corner number 3 if you are in corner number 1. You always need to keep the racetrack and the finish line where what you want to accomplish and where you want to go. But you need to focus 1 corner at a time. And I am a business coach and a success acceleration coach. And my clients get discouraged because they always think that they will have results like this month or next month. No, building a business is 3 to 5 years, sometimes more, depending on which business you are building. And you have challenges, like you said, detour. You have problems with taxes, with accountant, with your personal, with your assistant. You lose an employee. There is always something going on. Like in the racetrack, there is always something going on. You need to be focused and be aware about everything going around you.
Well, and I love the timeline that you just laid out there. I couldn't have said it better. I was just at a workshop last weekend, and I reminded the crowd that I went to school 11 years to get my licensing to be a CPA and an attorney and get a master's degree. And then I've been out practicing another 10 to 11 years. I know, ladies, I look a lot younger than that. But I've been out there, and it takes time. Man, my law firm wasn't a success its first year or second year or third year accounting firm, getting that off the ground in the 3rd year of the law firm. It's a lot of work, and it takes time. And so I encourage all of those out there. I just want to say this as a side note. And, Dean, you and I have talked about this. Everybody should have a small business on the side and cultivate it. It takes time. Don't quit your day job tomorrow so dramatically and, you know, maybe spontaneously. Take your time and build a small business on the side. And this is why real estate is a nice way to do that, with rental property and little projects. But I love your examples there. No, in racing, you know, I wanted to ask about the crashes. You know, this is something you've talked about a lot in your book. In our race for life, we're going to have those crashes. You've experienced that on the racetrack. How do you get back up? I mean, it's got to be tough.
Getting back from a crash is not always easy, and more you wait, harder it is. I think my big crash, which was a small crash, I broke my collarbone, and it took me 9 weeks to come back on the racetrack. Oh, my God. It took me 3 months to came back to about the same pace I was. I had a concussion at one point, and 3 weeks later, I was on the racetrack almost as fast because probably I forgot and I never remember what happened to the crash. But it's the same thing in business. If you get attached too much about the reason why you failed, the circumstances, and you continue just to kind of ruminate why it didn't happen or why it was not good or whatever, the more you keep the bad memories in your head, harder it is to come back. And I always tell people, when in racing and in life, it's not if you crash, it's when you crash. So you just need to get used to that. And you just pick up your bike, you fix it a little bit, you fix yourself, your self-confidence, your self-esteem. If you need to, you just go take a few more classes to perfection yourself. You know, I have a bachelor in actuarial science, okay? And I never work in actuarial science or as an actuary. But people tell me, oh, you are so lucky because you are so successful. No, it's because I learned so many different things that I can apply in my life. And with the success in sports, in music, in piano, in volleyball, I got the mindset. So it's a practice of 42 years now. It's not like you are an overnight success. It's a 42 years overnight success, you know? Everything you do in life, even at 4 years old or 5 years old, can determine what you will do later on. So just practice good habit all the time, every day.
Well, and I love how you talked about your just a small accident, breaking a collarbone. Ouch! Can I just say that? Jeez. Mark, yeah, it was just a small break. I was, you know, in traction for 9 weeks, but whatever. Okay, no, folks, if you've just joined us, I want to say thank you to our special guest who we're talking with here, a motorcycle racer, Nadine LaJoy, and author of the book, Win the Race of Life, national speaker, trainer, wonderful. She's having a workshop in Ontario, California, at the Fontana Racetrack, where it's the first event that she knows of ever, where she's combining a workshop on business training, and you get out on the track and race with a professional racer in tandem and get well over 100 miles an hour in some turns and feel the knee and hear the knee of the racer you're riding behind scrape it on the cement as he turns the corner. So unbelievable. Now, you can get a hold of Nadine at wintheraceoflife.com. That's her book, wintheraceoflife.com, or nadineracing.com. So, Nadine, what are some other metaphors? I got to just say this. The one thing that you said that I thought was very poignant is you said, the sooner you get up from the wreck, or the faster you get back on the bike, the easier it is.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty powerful, especially in business, too. If you feel beat up and you don't get back on the bike, it can hurt your business and maybe your mentality as well.
Yeah, if you lose one of your biggest clients, and if you are in your job and don't focus on the next client in the next few days. And if you are just thinking about that for the next 2 weeks, you will bring too much negativity in yourself. And after that, that will affect your confidence. And that's why also I created the Racing System to Your Dreams, which is the acronym of racing, to really help people to, in their business and their life, personal, spiritual, or whatever you want to work on, to really recognize your finish line. It's the first step of that racing process. And the A is for act one corner at a time. So when you crash or something happened in your life, you need to lay down what are the next steps that you have to do. And when you start a business or when you start your first real estate investment, I came here, remember, I barely spoke English, and I didn't even know what was a foreclosure, and I started to do real estate business, you know. And it's being able to also care about yourself, which is the C. The I is for empower yourself. It's a word that I invent. It's inspire, empower, and go inside yourself and discover your power. If you don't have adrenaline and your mission and your vision, if you are not happy in the morning when you get up, you will never be successful. So be sure you do whatever you need to do and you like to do. The N is for never give up, and the G is for get it done.
I love it. Well, you've been thinking, so you studied the language. You got all these little tricks there with your wording there. I love it. Now, we talked about turning. We talked about crashing. We've only got a few minutes left here. Well, we've got, you know, 7-8 minutes here. But what would be another metaphor in regards to racing that the average person like us would not know about and that you talk about in your book or your presentations?
Thank you. I love this one. It's you need to smile in your helmet. What I mean by that is when I was at Daytona Bike Week, I was trying to qualify against 75 guys. And
You got to back up. Now, I thought you just raced against other women. You would race against the guys, too?
Yes. I finished third at Daytona against 75 guys and top 10 in a national USA against guys.
Wow, I didn't know that. I thought it was just the women's league, for lack of a better word. That is so incredible.
No, I got over 50 podiums, and probably 10 of them are with men.
I didn't know we were talking to the Danica Patrick of racing and motorcycles. So cool. Where is GoDaddy in your life? GoDaddy, they got to be calling you. What's up with this? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So back to your story. So you're killing it. You're racing these 75 guys. They're totally intimidated and ticked off that this girl's beating them. Okay, keep going.
Yes. So that morning it was raining. You know, in business and in life, it's raining often, too often in our taste. And that morning I was just mad. And that little hamster inside myself just spinning his wheel and say, you are not good enough. What did you think? Because everybody had their own mechanic except me. Little Nadine in Florida with my RV, with my plate of Quebec, doing racing. But finally, I showed up. I changed my tires myself, and I changed my mind. And I said, oh, my God, maybe that is an opportunity for me, because in every crash and every challenge, you have an opportunity. So I went to the start-finish line, rev up my motor, and just smelling the gas and having the wind in my hair. I look on my left and on my right and on the back and on the front, like half of the people didn't show up. That is the same thing in your life, in your business. If you don't show up, there is no way you can win. So it's something switched in my head, and I said, oh, my God, that is my chance to get a podium at Daytona, my first podium with guys ever, got a wonderful start, and it was on the rain, and I was just saying myself, smile in your helmet, hear your breath, and just relax. Just dance with your bike. Just dance with your smile. Just dance with the rain. Just keep going. Just focus on the next corner. You don't want to crash, so you just need to be focused and relax, and you just smile in your helmet. Smile when the life is not good with you. Smile when the universe is showing you crap, you know? You need to adjust. And I say that, and I cannot say I am good like that at 100%. Really far from that. But I remind me that. Smile in your helmet and smile in the rainy days and just focus on your next corner, and at one point you will finish the race. At one point you will be able to win the race of your life, not necessarily beating all the people. For sure, I was happy about having a third place, but I was second for all the race. And the last lap, I get into my comfort zone, and I kind of relax a little bit and say, oh, I need to don't crash. And the guy passed me a couple of corners before the end. It's another lesson. If you get too much in your comfort zone, somebody will pass you. So just smile in your helmet.
I you don't even know. I was totally touched emotionally here. You know, there's a soft side to me. Some of you that have come to my workshops know that. Because I love to tell stories about small business and success stories. And I was totally touched with that example. That's amazing that you, as your own mechanic, gosh, another little twist that you forgot to tell me. This is unbelievable. So not only are you the racing, you're a grease monkey. You're putting your own tires on your motorcycle. I can't even put tires. Well, I can put tires on my car, I guess, if I have to change a tire. But this is so amazing. And you show up. And there's other people that weren't prepared and weren't ready and didn't show up for whatever reason. And you're there. You smile in your helmet. And just go for it and dance with your bike, and that is dance. The neatest story.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories because it's so much. I even built a motorcycle meditation with rock music around kind of that theme, about 20 minutes to really help people to realize their dream and go on the racetrack of their life, whatever racetrack you want. Sometimes you change racetrack. Like a racer, we have different passion, different mission, different businesses, and you just need to focus where you need to focus to win the race of life. And for me, that's why I get that gift. I was so successful so rapidly to be able now to inspire people with that story about my third place at Daytona. You know, that's where I kind of became kind of famous because of that third place at Daytona.
Unbelievable. Such a powerful story. Well, we have come to the end of another, I think, I'll be so bold to say, amazing episode of the Mark Kohler Show. And I want to thank you, Dean, for coming on the show with how valuable your time is. I am so grateful that you came on the show. And again, is there anything that you want to tell our guests to how to get a hold of you? We've kind of put your website out there. Your event coming up. What's the date of your event?
The date of the event would be the 23rd or the 24th. So it's the Thanksgiving weekend. I need the confirmation from the guy. But also I'm speaking in the California Women's Conference, the big 25,000 people Women's Conference that Maria Schraber was doing for a few years. So that is September 24th that I'm speaking, but it's 23rd and 24th, and people can go on my website, nadineracing.com. If you go into calendar, you click on that, and you have a code LAJOIE to get your 10% discount. And also, I'm doing a TV casting workshop in Newport Beach in February for teenagers 13 to 19 years old. So I will share with teenagers my skills and my knowledge, and that would be a casting for a big 13-episode TV series show.
Wow. Well, we wish you the best of luck. It's so exciting to hear what you're doing. We didn't even have time to talk about your nonprofit, which I know you're passionate about. People, you want to definitely, I think, bookmark her page and go check it out and see what event you might be able to attend of Nadine's. So fun. So, Nadine, I've got a couple other announcements, but I want to say thank you to Nadine, and thank you for joining us on the show, and we hope to have you back.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Be safe. Okay. See you later. Wow, what an amazing guest and an exciting topic. I was really inspired with her story there. That's just a neat, neat story. Well, I just wanted to mention here a couple side notes for everybody. Thank you for hanging on. Don't hang up or turn off your computer yet. This video of my little surfing expose over the weekend with my son should be uploaded here shortly. We've got some cool music with it, and so you have to fill out a couple extra forms of Facebook to have that out there. But we've got a new website we've launched this week, markjkohler.com. It's got a new look, a new feel. I've got my webinar series starting in another 3 weeks. The live webinar series that some of you have already participated in the past. It's every Wednesday. It's extremely affordable. You're getting me for like 20 or 30 bucks an hour over a 12-week period on all sorts of topics, working on my computer screen with me. It's a lot of fun. Check that out. CFO in a Box, 6 workshops this fall, and we're capping it off with our surfing workshop in Hawaii on December 1st. You got to check it out. Please sign up. And you guys just have an awesome You have an awesome day, and keep living the dream. Don't give up. And I wish all of you the best. The American dream is real. Have an awesome day.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.